Let's pray.
Lad os bede.
Lord God, Heavenly Father.
Herre Gud, himmelske Far.
We ask your blessings upon this time.
Vi beder dig om at velsigne os her, hvor vi er forsamlet.
Speak to us through your word.
Tal til os gennem dit ord.
So that we hear what you say to your church.
Så vi hører, hvad du har at fortælle til din kirke.
To us today.
Og til os i dag.
In Jesus name.
I Jesu navn.
Amen. Okay, I'd like you just to imagine just for a second. I believe there's a handout that's gone around, so I will use it pretty well or ignore it depending on where we go.
Ja, jeg tror der er sådan en seddel her lagt rundt, og den vil jeg bruge undervejs.
I'd like you to imagine just for a minute that you're Martians and you're viewing the planet Earth from space in some sort of spaceship.
Jeg vil gerne bede om i et øjeblik at forestille jer, at I er marsmænd, og at I ser planeten Jorden ude fra Mars fra et rumskib.
You have to do an assignment for Mars Control.
Og I er ude på en opgave for Mars Kontrolcenter.
Okay, and it is to analyze the human species in their religions.
Og det er at analysere mennesket og dets religioner.
And what you find is that throughout the planet, as the planet sort of orbits, as you orbit the planet, and you can look down because you've got really good telescopes.
Og efterhånden som I kredser rundt om planeten og kigger ned igennem jeres kikkerter,
you will find that there are religions on every continent.
Så ser I, at der er religioner på hver eneste kontinent.
And there will be people who formally follow.
Og der er mennesker, som formelt følger religionen.
Religions in all sorts of ways.
På alle mulige måder.
And so you will find that there are places of religion.
Så I finder, at der er steder, hvor religion udøves.
And religious activities.
Og aktiviteter omkring det.
And you see similarities in them.
Og I kan se ligheder mellem dem.
And you watch the people leave their places of worship.
Og I ser folk gå væk fra det sted, hvor de har tilbedt.
And you'll see similarities in some of their behaviors.
Og I kan se ligheder i nogle af deres adfærdsmønstre.
Okay. Welcome to what is called the phenomenological study of religion or the sociology of religion.
Så velkommen til den fænomenologiske studie af religion eller sociologisk studie.
And from the outside looking in,
og når man ser udefra og ind,
all religions will have some similarities.
Så har alle religioner nogle ligheder.
Gods, worshippers, places, ethics.
Der er guder, der er tilbedere, der er steder, hvor man tilbeder, og der er etik.
Now we need to keep this idea just in the back of our heads, just for now.
Og lad os holde den her idé i baghovedet et øjeblik.
Because now I'm going to stop you being Martians.
Fordi nu stopper vi med at være marsmænd.
And now you're going to become human beings.
Og nu er I så mennesker.
And you're going to be Christians. Oh, look at you.
Kristne,
there you go.
Mennesker. Og se. Ja.
And you're now going to look at the same religions of the world.
Og nu ser vi på de samme verdensreligioner.
And you will see again the similarities, yes?
Og I kan igen se lighederne.
Are there gods?
Er der guder?
Ja. Yeah. Are there places of worship?
Er der steder, hvor man tilbeder?
Are there people, religious people and devotees?
Er der religiøse mennesker, tilhængere af den her religion?
And do the religious people sort of say they behave in certain ways, maybe on Sundays, maybe in their lives?
Og opfører de sig på bestemte måder, måske om søndagen eller måske i løbet af deres liv.
But as Christians, we look at them all and ourselves.
Men som kristne, så ser vi på alle dem og på os selv.
And we say, because we're Christian, these other religions are actually quite wrong.
Og fordi vi er kristne, så siger vi, de her andre religioner, de er faktisk for galt på den.
The Martians can't see the difference.
Og marsmændene kan ikke rigtig se forskellen.
We see the difference.
Men vi kan se forskellen.
And Christianity is this mystery about human beings that when they create religions,
og der er det her mysterium med når mennesker, de skaber religioner.
They do the really, really silly things.
Så gør de nogle ret fjollede ting.
And that is, they create something in which they do all the work.
Og de skaber noget, hvor det er dem, der skal udføre alt arbejdet.
They create gods.
De skaber guder.
Make them into idols, maybe.
Gudebilleder.
And because the idols don't speak,
og fordi gudebillederne ikke taler,
they speak for them,
så taler de for gudebillederne.
And because the idols don't move,
og fordi gudebillederne ikke bevæger sig,
they carry them along,
så tager de gudebillederne med sig rundt,
etc., etc., etc.
Og så videre.
All right, can you see this as you look around the planet?
Kan I se det for jer, når I ser rundt omkring?
Well, give me some examples.
Lad os høre nogle eksempler.
What would be that around the planet?
Rundt omkring jorden. Hvad vil være eksempler?
Now you have to go and translate.
Hinduismen. Ja.
Just an example. What about Hinduism?
That they create their gods.
Yep.
They carry them around.
Yep.
And they speak for them.
And they bathe them.
Ja, altså et eksempel, de i hindu-religionen, så laver de også gudebilleder og tager dem med sig og taler for dem.
Is there something not right? Oh. I'm falling apart.
Like you wouldn't believe.
Okay, so yes.
The Virgin Mary in the Catholic Church is like an icon.
There is a dimension of that, and that is why we would be different. Yes.
Der er en dimension der, hvor vi adskiller os.
That's right, and we could go into a long topic about whether or not they're praying or they're talking, etc. But you're right. There is a tension there that certainly as Lutherans and Protestants we would see. Yes.
Ja, altså det er rigtigt, som du påpeger der. Der er en spænding, som vi som protestanter og lutheranere får øje på.
So we have Hinduism. We, for us, would have differences between Protestants or Lutherans and Roman Catholics in that area. There must be others, though.
Ja, det er rigtigt. Altså, der er her hinduisme, og der er et eksempel med romersk katolsk, hvor vi adskiller os, men andre eksempler.
Do you have...
Materialism.
Well, yes, but it's not usually a formal... It's not a formal religion. That's because... You are seeing it in this framework of idols. You're already jumping
ja,
ahead.
Okay, godt. Ja, formelt set er det ikke gudebilleder, men det er fordi vi ser det i det her billede fra vores synspunkt er det gudebilleder. Det er rigtigt.
Which is okay, because instead of having the idol, you've just got material possessions. Do the same thing.
Ja, og det er rigtigt nok, fordi i stedet for gudebilledet, så har vi materielle ejendele, som udfylder samme funktion.
Other religions.
How about communism?
Well, again, that's a philosophy or a point of view that actually says there is no God.
Det er kommunismen sådan set en filosofi eller et synspunkt der siger der eksisterer ikke nogen Gud.
Which is a strange religion.
Og det er egentlig en underlig religion.
Because there's the idol, no God.
Fordi det gudebillede, som kommunismerne har, det hedder, der er ingen gud, og det tager de så med sig.
So in its own way, it has religious properties.
Så på sin egen måde har det religiøse attributter og egenskaber.
You guys are being very deep, thinking a lot.
I er virkelig dybsindige og tænker godt over ting.
Yeah, okay, that's where I was at. Sort of the more okay. Buddhism would be one, Islam would be one, Judaism would be one. Ah,
okay.
Aha.
So, wait a second.
They want God. They're not polytheist.
No, we'll come to the...
Der nævnes buddhisme, og der nævnes jødedommen, og der nævnes islam, hvor det siges her, at islam er lidt anderledes, fordi man ikke har billeder af guddommen, som man bærer rundt med sig.
Okay. I'll stick with Islam. Do you have to go to... If you're a Muslim, do you have to complete some pillars? If you complete a pillar... One of them is about a place.
Godt. Hvis vi nu dvæler ved islam et øjeblik, der er nogle fem søjler, og kan I nævne en af de her søjler?
One of the pillars is.
You have to go to a place.
Er at vi skal gå. Man skal gå til et bestemt sted.
So to complete the religion, to fulfill the religion, you have to go somewhere. You have to go to Mecca. You have to complete the Hajj.
Så for at opfylde religionens krav, så skal man gå til Mecca.
So you can have religions that even have one god.
Så man kan have religioner, der kun har én gud.
And you have religions that have many gods.
Og religioner, der har mange.
But again, as I said, if you think from the Martians point of view, it's just different ways for the people on Earth to engage religiously.
Men fra Marsmandens synspunkt er det forskellige måder, som mennesker på jorden, de engagerer sig religiøst.
And if you think it from our point of view as Christians, we would say... We recognize all this and we recognize that we will be looked at as wrong by the other religions.
Og fra vores synspunkt, der erkender vi, at vi bliver set på som galt på den fra andre religiøse synspunkter.
But we are going to claim a fundamental difference to all the other religions on the planet.
Men vi vil hævde, at der er en fundamental forskel i relation til alle andre religioner på planeten.
And that is that the other religions of the planet create a god in their image.
At alle andre religioner, de skaber en gud i deres billede.
And for us, we have a god who has created us in his image.
Og for os har vi en gud, som har skabt os i sit billede.
And this god comes to us.
Og den gud kommer til os.
In all the other religions of the world, human beings go to God, do things for God.
I alle andre religioner så gør mennesker noget for Gud og kommer hen til Gud.
Whereas for us, and this is key for Christians, God is first. God comes to us.
Og for os som kristne er det helt grundlæggende, at Gud er først og Gud kommer til os.
Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick up from John chapter 20 three scenes that highlight this.
Og vi vil se på tre scener fra Johannes kapitel 20, som fremhæver dette.
Now John chapter 20 is a key chapter in John. It's like a summary chapter.
Og Johannes kapitel 20 er et nøglekapitel i Johannes evangeliet.
So let's just do a very quick refresher. You've been in Bible studies all your life. Okay, so I want you to think about one thing you already know that I don't have to teach you about John's gospel.
Og i kapitel 20 der opsummeres evangeliet ligesom. Jeg vil gerne bede jer om at tænke på en ting, som jeg så ikke behøver at lære jer. I allerede ved om Johannes evangeliet.
So authorship or time or anything about the letter. I'm talking about the letter itself.
Så det kan være hvem der har skrevet det eller hvilken tid det er fra eller noget om evangeliet selv om bogen
okay.
Her.
So think about one thing.
Tænk på en ting.
That's very good. Okay, go. Who's got something?
Er nogen, der har noget?
What did you think? Karen, sorry to pick on you. I just recognized your name quickly because I recognize your name.
The word made flesh.
Okay, that's the message. Okay, it's very strong in John.
Ja, den besked er meget stærk og fremtrædende i Johannes.
All right, so it's very, very strong. Just think about the letter itself.
Tænk på på brevet eller på bogen. Johannes evangeliet selv.
So, who wrote it? Yes. Yes.
Written by one of the disciples of Jesus.
Right. Okay. All right. Four gospel accounts. Two of them written by disciples. Two of them not. And John is one of them.
Det er rigtigt. Vi har fire evangelier, og to af dem er skrevet af disciple af Jesus, og to er ikke.
Roughly when was it written? When do we know?
Hvornår nogenlunde? Hvornår omtrent er det skrevet?
Just call out.
Around year 50.
Probably not, to be honest. The scholarship is much later. The other gospels are earlier. Mm.
Ja, altså de øvrige evangelier er tidligere, men forskning i Nyt Testamente placerer Johannes noget senere.
Probably towards the end. All right, the end of the first century.
Så hen mod slutningen af det første århundrede.
Church tradition only, but it's not in the Bible. Who was the last of the 12 apostles to die?
Så ifølge kirketraditionen og kirkefædrene, hvem var så den sidste af de 12 apostle, som døde?
And it was... it's generally, he dies in the 60s.
Generelt så Peter nævnes som et bud her, og han døde i 60'erne.
It's only church tradition only. Church tradition, it can't be proved, so you could be right. Yeah, thank you, yeah. John. Yeah, John is traditionally the last one to die. It's the assumption.
Ifølge traditionen er Johannes den sidste der døde.
And church tradition also says he dies differently from the other of the official 12. The other 11 die in a particular way, he doesn't.
Og traditionen fortæller os også at Johannes døde på en anden måde end de øvrige 11.
Just church tradition only again in Ephesus. Anyone know? Anyone remember?
Er der nogen der ved eller kan huske det? I Ephesus. He died of old age.
Yeah, that's right. He's the one that lives a long life. All the others are martyred or executed.
Ja, det er rigtigt. Han lever et langt liv, og alle de øvrige, de lider martyrdøden og bliver henrettet.
So let's just run with this for a second, because now... you're too young. Okay. I'm John.
Så lad os forestille os det her et øjeblik. Nu er jeg Johannes.
And you are all, okay, back there, Christians.
I er alle sammen kristne.
I am the last person that who has seen Jesus with my own eyes.
Og jeg er den sidste af disciplen, som har set Jesus med mine egne øjne.
And of course, you've got some concerns, don't you?
Og I har sikkert nogle bekymringer og spørgsmål, har I ikke?
Do you want your children to have the faith that you have?
Ønsker I, at jeres børn har den tro, som I har?
Do you want your grandchildren to have the faith you have?
Og ønsker I, at jeres børnebørn
har troen? What about your great-grandchildren?
Hvad med jeres oldebørn?
What's going to happen when I cark it? That's die in Australia.
Og hvad sker der, når jeg går bort?
Right, there's a question there, isn't there? And it always is.
Der er altid et spørgsmål her.
And I think the answer to that question is very much why John's gospel that we have.
Og jeg tror, at svaret på det spørgsmål har noget at gøre med det evangelie, vi har.
And I think it's a key context for John chapter 20.
Og jeg tror, det er en nøgle sammenhæng for Johannes kapitel 20.
So let's read. I know it in English, so I don't need to specifically translate. But if you want to grab it, John 20 verses 1 through to 10.
Så læs Johannes kapitel 20 vers 1 til 10.
Maybe somebody wants to read it out, so if others don't have their Bible, but probably everybody has a Bible.
Mens det nu var mørkt, kom Maria Magdalena ud til graven, og hun så, at stenen var flyttet fra graven. Så løb hun hen til Simon Peter og til den anden disciple, ham som Jesus elskede. De har flyttet herren fra graven. Vi ved ikke, hvor de har lagt ham. Så kom Peter og den anden disciple og ville ud til graven. De løb begge to, men den anden disciple løb foran hurtigere end Peter og nåede først til graven. Han bøjede sig ind og så linnedklæderne ligge der. Men han gik ikke ind. Simon Petersen på det efter, nåede nu også frem. Han går lige ind i graven og ser linnedklæderne ligge der, og klædet, som Jesus havde haft over hovedet. De lå ikke sammen med linnedklæderne, men rullede sammen for at støde for sig selv. Der gik også den anden disciple derind, han som var kommet først til graven, og han så og troede. Indtil da havde de nemlig ikke forstået skriftens ord om, at han skulle opstå fra de døde. Disciplerne gik så hjem igen.
Tak. Okay, first scene. John 20 is three scenes. The first scene.
Johannes 20 har vi tre scener.
Okay, the scene at the empty tomb.
Scenen ved den tomme grav.
And the two disciples.
Og de to disciple.
Scene at the empty tomb.
Scenen ved den tomme grav.
Mary.
Og Maria.
And then in the upper room.
Og så i værelset.
Okay. You've read it, you've seen it. Okay. What was the response of the two disciples? And for this, just to make it quicker, I believe that the disciple whom Jesus loved is John.
So
I'm just going to say Peter and John.
Lige først for at springe en eventuel diskussion over. Jeg mener, at den disciple Jesus elskede er Johannes her. I forgot the first thing you said.
Yeah, I forgot it too.
All right. Yeah, so you have to be called Johannes or Peter.
Okay, so two people, they see the same thing, they walk away with different responses.
Så læg mærke til deres reaktion her. Der er to personer, der ser det samme, men reagerer forskelligt.
Do you want to posit a reason how that can happen, why that happened?
Har I et forslag til, hvorfor det forholder sig sådan? Well, they are different persons and therefore see and hear differently.
They've got the same insight though. They've seen the same scene.
Ja, altså de har set den samme scene.
So just their eyes are working differently?
Er det deres øjne som ser noget forskelligt?
They've been with Jesus for 3 years.
De har været sammen med Jesus i 3 år.
Yes, they're different people, but they've had similar experiences surely.
Ja, de er forskellige mennesker, men de har haft de samme oplevelser.
And I'll grant that John is traditionally the younger of, is regarded as probably the youngest of the 12 Peter's married. All right, different life experiences.
Så ja, de har forskellige oplevelser i livet. Johannes er væsentligt yngre end Peter, og Peter er giftet.
So the answer that was just given is has validity. Yes.
Så ja, svaret der lige blev givet her er gyldigt. Men der er mere.
People are different. People see things differently.
Så mennesker er forskellige og ser ting forskelligt.
But I think there's more. Yep.
Well, Peter has guilt to work with.
Okay. Now, that's a very interesting sort of thinking through, so sort of a psychologizing of the situation.
Ja, det er en interessant baggrund for psykologien i situationen her.
So I could run with your idea.
Så jeg kunne godt løbe lidt med den her idé.
Peter and John see the same thing.
Peter og Johannes, de ser det samme.
John, because it says who believes.
Men hvem siger teksten at hvem tror?
In the
på grund af det de ser.
Who believes in the text? Verse 9. John believes, but Peter would do it also. But now you're suggesting it's an interesting theory that his guilt gets in the way, and the guilt affects his eyes.
Så du foreslår her at Peters skyld kommer i vejen, og at skylden påvirker det han ser.
And I can work with that one. That's an idea.
Og det er en idé, som man godt kunne udforske.
Can't prove it. It's an interesting idea. But okay. Does guilt affect the way we see things?
Påvirker skyld i almindelighed det, vi ser.
So we could resonate with that idea.
Ja, vi kan godt, det resonerer med os. Ja. Well, the text doesn't say either that Peter does not believe. Could it be that it's because John is writing this and as the storyteller? That's the emphasis.
It could be. It could be. Okay? But we only have on that basis one declaration of one who believes. All right? And the other person doesn't. We'd have to we could work with that. You can't get the text to say things that it doesn't say. That is correct. And we have other accounts where in Luke, where Jesus particularly appears to Peter. I mean, it's stated.
Ja, ja, vi har det er en mulig forklaring, og vi har også hos Lukas eksempler, hvor Jesus viser sig specifikt for Peter.
But let's just run with the idea that we're just going to work with John just for a second. Believe Peter is an unfinished question here.
Ja, Peter er et uafsluttet spørgsmål her, men lad os følge Johannes.
Why does John believe?
Hvorfor tror Johannes? Well, the faith is something that God gives.
Right? And where's yeah, that's I agree.
Ja, jeg er enig.
So is it magic?
Er det magi det her?
So just you have it, not you.
It says he saw and he believed.
Uh-huh. So there is an element of seeing. Okay, that is correct. So the seeing triggered something. But as we were saying, you can see and apparently not believe.
Så det er rigtigt, det her med at se er åbenbart et meget vigtigt element i det her. Men man kan se, som vi har talt om, og alligevel ikke tro.
We have to work with the tension here. Now go to verse 10.
Og der er en spænding her. Lad os gå til vers 10.
Have a read. What's the suggestion there? What's happened?
He's considering the words of the scripture.
Right. Okay, so the words of the scripture. Now when John is writing, he's writing what will become our scriptures. What scriptures is he talking about?
Ja, når Johannes skriver her, så skriver han noget, som sidenhen vil blive en del af skriften. Hvad er det for en skrift, han taler om her?
And it has to be which testament?
Hvilket testament er det?
Okay, the Old Testament, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms.
Så det gamle testamente, loven, profeterne og salmerne.
And he's also got 3 years of experience.
Og oven i det har han 3 års oplevelser og erfaringer.
If I can pick up your theme of the Word made flesh.
Med temaet der blev nævnt før, ordet der blev kød.
Talking as well.
Som også taler til John, til Johannes.
Men Jesus har jo også selv sagt, at han skulle lide og dø og opstå.
Jesus himself explained that he would suffer and die and be raised again.
Exactly.
Well, in the tomb, he saw the headpiece.
Folded neatly together.
Yeah, exactly.
So you see the same evidence, but you can come up with different ideas from it.
Selvom vi ser den samme de samme fakta, så kan vi komme med forskellige ideer på baggrund af det.
So we have this very beginning scene, this very first scene, early Sunday morning.
Så den her første scene meget tidligt søndag morgen.
And faith is created.
Hvor tro skabes.
But if we say either and emphasize John is smart.
Men hvis vi enten fremhæver at Johannes er klog.
Or it comes from his sight.
Eller at det kommer fra hans det hans øjne ser.
Then we will end up on very very shaky ground.
Så befinder vi os på meget usikker grund.
And John knows this. He's writing it decades later.
Og det ved Johannes godt. Han skriver det her årtier senere.
So he makes sure that we know where the faith comes from, and he adds verse 10.
Og vi skal være sikre på, at vi ved, hvor troen kommer fra, og derfor tilføjer han i vers 9 af den danske oversættelse.
No matter the experience.
Så uanset oplevelsen.
Of a person of faith.
For en person, som tror.
Okay. The word has to be there.
Så skal ordet være der.
Okay. Now just very quickly time out. When my experience in Australia of adult converts.
En hurtig time out. Ifølge min erfaring med voksne, som er konverteret til kristendommen so i Australien.
People in their 20s or 30s.
Mennesker i 20'erne eller 30'erne.
Not a Christian.
Her ikke kristen og ikke kristen.
24, 25.
Ved 24-25 års alderen.
28, 29, not a Christian.
Og igen 28-29 år, heller ikke kristne.
32, not a Christian.
Heller ikke 32.
32.5.
32.5.
They've been ministered to, they've got a loving wife, whatever the scenario is.
Og de har måske hørt prædikner, og de har en hustru, der er troende. Hvad nu scenariet måtte være?
I've been chatting to them, they've been chatting to me.
Jeg taler med dem, og de taler med mig.
And 3 or 4 years of Bible studies maybe on the fringe of the church.
Og det kan være, at der er 3-4 års bibelstudie i udkanten af kirken.
And then one day,
og en dag banker det på.
Pastor, I think I'm ready to become a member of the church. I'm going to become a Christian.
Pastor, jeg tror, jeg er klar til at blive medlem af kirken og blive en kristen.
I can't tell this person he hasn't had the experience. He says, I've weighed it all up. I've now decided that, yes, Jesus is Lord.
Og jeg kan ikke fortælle det her menneske, at han ikke har haft den oplevelse. Han siger, at jeg har indset det hele, og Jesus er herre.
Do I turn around and say to him, no, you haven't.
Vender jeg mig om mod ham og siger, nej, det har du ikke oplevet.
Oh, no, you haven't. You can't do any of that. The Holy Spirit's done it all.
Nej, det er ikke dig, der har gjort noget som helst. Helligånden har gjort det hele.
That's nonsense.
Det er vrøvl.
He's had the experience.
Han har oplevet det.
But experience does not determine truth.
Men hans oplevelse afgør ikke, hvad der er sandhed.
My job continues in teaching him that what has happened is that he has come to faith by the Holy Spirit's work. And he still has his experience.
Men min opgave er at fortælle ham, at han er kommet til tro ved Helligåndens gerning i ham. Men han har stadig oplevelsen.
I had to deal with this in a pastoral situation with an adult member.
Og jeg har haft den her problematik inde på livet med et voksen medlem.
He was baptized as a baby.
Som blev døbt som lille barn.
Left the church.
Og forlod kirken.
Went to another church.
Og kom til en anden kirke.
Was baptized and received the Spirit, etc. in his 20s.
Og blev døbt igen i 20'erne og modtog ånden.
Left the church.
Forlod kirken.
Came to the Lutheran church.
Og kom over til en luthersk kirke.
Very faithful in the Lutheran church.
Og var meget trofast der.
It's amazing what wives will do when you fall in love with a Lutheran one.
Og det er fantastisk, hvad hustruer kan gøre, når det er en luthersk en af slagsen.
And he was getting more and more involved in the church.
Og han blev mere og mere involveret i kirkens arbejde.
He wanted leadership in the church, to be involved. We wanted him to be involved.
Og han ville gerne involvere sig, og vi ville også gerne have, at han blev involveret.
And in the discussions that were happening,
og i de diskussioner og samtaler, vi havde,
I discovered that he held very highly to his second baptism.
Der oplevede jeg, at han holdt sin gendåb meget højt.
Which I thought we had dealt with.
Og det troede jeg egentlig var et emne, som vi havde talt grundigt om.
Because the second baptism is not a good one for him.
den anden dåb var ikke god for ham.
So we spent months literally.
Så vi brugte flere måneder.
Again working through the work of the Spirit and the Word.
Hvor vi så på åndens arbejde og gennem ordet.
When did God give him faith?
Hvornår gav Gud ham troen?
This baptism that he has an experience of, or that baptism?
Så var det den her dåb, hvor han havde en oplevelse, eller den tidligere dåb?
Because word and water and spirit are always linked, and of course for Lutherans, the answer is...
For ordet, ånden og vandet er altid forbundet for lutherske.
Okay, and so we've always got to work with our experiences, what we see, what we feel.
Så vi skal altid arbejde med det, vi ser og føler og oplever.
And place them under the word of God.
Og placere det under Guds ord.
Not over the word of God.
Ikke over Guds ord.
And so John and maybe Peter, that's a fascinating idea, I'm going to have to think about that one.
Så Johannes og måske også Peter, det er en fascinerende idé, som jeg skal tænke lidt over.
But John came to faith and yes, it was a gift of God.
Så Johannes kom til tro, og ja, det var Guds gave.
But it wasn't magic.
Men det var ikke magi.
And it wasn't generated by John.
Og det var ikke noget, som blev skabt af Johannes.
In some way, so we don't have the detail.
Og på mange måder kan man sige, vi har ikke detaljerne.
The Holy Spirit took various words, various recollections, various passages of John's experience.
Så ånden har taget forskellige ord og oplevelser med Jesus, som Johannes har haft.
So he could see an empty tomb.
Og han kunne se den tomme grav.
And a rolled up headcloth.
Og et sammenrullet hovedklæde.
And while somebody else might scratch their head.
Og mens en anden stod og kløede sig lidt i håret og prøvede for mening i det.
He can go, wow.
Så tænkte han,
and believe.
Wow. Og troede.
Let's look at the second scene.
Lad os se på den anden scene, Johannes 20.
11 to 18, please.
Vers 10 til 18.
Tak. Generally there's a question asked of this scene. But any questions?
Der stilles ofte et spørgsmål til denne scene, men først har I nogle spørgsmål? Why doesn't she recognize him?
That's the question that is asked.
Det er præcis det spørgsmål.
Now, Pastor Leif's been a pastor longer than me. He might have secret knowledge that I don't have.
Og det kan være Leif, som har været præst længere end jeg. Han har en hemmelig viden, som jeg ikke har del i.
Answer is I don't know.
Men svaret er, jeg ved det ikke.
We have the situation as presented. We must always work with the text.
Men vi har situationen, som den præsenteres, og vi kan arbejde ud fra teksten.
We might psychologize it with grief or tears in the eyes.
Vi kan måske forestille os psykologiske forklaringer med sorg eller tårer i øjnene.
Some people might even have suggested, some scholars and some people have suggested Jesus somehow was so different.
Og nogle forskere i nytestamentet har foreslået, at Jesus på en eller anden måde var forskellig.
But the bottom line is, we don't strictly know.
Men når alt kommer til alt, så ved vi det strengt taget ikke.
But
vi må gå ud fra, at Jesus
Well, we have to assume that Jesus meant it was best for her in that way.
Well,
same thing with the disciples to on the road to Emmaus.
Exactly right. And the message is similar.
Ja, det er rigtigt, og beskeden her, det der ønskes kommunikeret, er det samme.
Because when does, as you know the story, we don't have to go into a super detail, but when does Mary believe? When does she recognize him as Jesus?
Så hvornår er det, Maria tror, hvornår genkender hun ham som Jesus? When he speaks to her.
That's the point. And you know this. I mean, you've had this in studies before.
Så I kender det her og har haft det i bibelstudier før.
So it's the word. It's Jesus and his word that brings about recognition, brings about faith, brings about this awareness.
Så det er Jesus og hans ord, der bringer troen, og det er, at man er klar over det, at det er Jesus.
If we anchor this coming to faith in ourselves, we are on shaky ground.
Så hvis vi forankrer det øjeblik, hvor vi kommer til troen i os selv, så er vi på usikker grund.
And yet we must never deny the experiences that people have.
Og alligevel må vi aldrig benægte de oplevelser, som But mennesker har.
Those are their experiences.
De er deres oplevelser.
But we may not interpret them right, or there may be other reasons for them, but they are there. And today's society, we are so experiential. If we don't experience it, it's not real. All that sort of stuff. Ja.
Vi må ikke benægte, at oplevelserne er der. Men man kan måske fortolke dem forskelligt. I vores samfund i dag er vi meget fokuseret på oplevelser.
So what is Mary's response when she first recognizes this Jesus?
Hvad er Marias reaktion, da hun først genkender ham som Jesus? Hvad er den første? Hvordan reagerer? She turns to him and says, Lord.
Yep. Okay. Is that what it is in Danish? Because it tends to be Rabboni in...
Oh, yeah. Er det sådan, det er på dansk? Fordi det plejer at være Rabboni, hun siger. Eller mester, master.
There are just nuances there. So teacher, master, Lord, it's a revered one. There's no two ways about that.
No, yeah. So uanset om hun siger mester eller herre, så er det en, som der er respekt for.
So whether cry, Jesus there, you know, Rabboni, or whatever, or, you know, talk, you the gardener, blah, 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 and Mary, Rabboni. Okay, we've got the scene.
Så vi har scenen der. Maria er dybt bedrøvet og tror, at det er havens gardener, og så opdager hun, at det er Jesus, der hun taler med ham.
And then what does she do next? She said the word, what's her action?
Så hun siger det her, og hvad er det, hun gør? She submits.
What does that, I don't know, what does that mean in terms? What does she actually do?
Hvad gør hun rent faktisk? She runs to the disciples.
No, not yet.
Hun omfavner.
Right.
She embraces him.
Right.
Hangs on to him.
That's the thing. You've lost something very, very precious. Right.
Det er netop det. Hun har mistet noget, som var meget dyrebart for hende.
Look, if you haven't had children, imagine, but you've all probably had children, you've lost a kid in a supermarket.
Så hvis I har haft børn, forestil jer, eller uanset hvad, forestil jer, at man har mistet et barn i et supermarked.
You're frantic, lost. Ah!
Og man er i panik og lider. Hvor er mit barn?
And all of a sudden, you see the child.
Og pludselig ser I barnet.
Come on, what do you do?
Hvad gør I?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's whoops, you know? And it's not just, hello, nice to see you back.
Yeah, man siger ikke bare, nå, det var dejligt at se dig, men man giver et ordentligt kram.
All right, I mean, that's what's happened. She lost him in death. She saw him die.
Hun mistede ham i døden. Hun så ham dø.
So what happens is she then, and I think the text is actually right and says that she grabs him. She's not going to lose him again.
Så jeg tror, det der står i teksten er, at hun holder fast i ham. Hun vil ikke miste ham igen.
And all I would ask, does that make sense?
Giver det mening?
To you?
Den reaktion.
All right, it makes sense. And then we have this strange, interesting thing about, okay, what's Jesus' reply? Now, you might have to teach me some Danish here. because I need to understand how you hear the words.
Så har vi noget som nok er lidt mærkeligt her, som er Jesus svar, og det kan være I skal lære mig lidt dansk her for at jeg forstår oversættelsen.
So what happens?
Hvad er Jesus ord her? Do not hold me back.
Do not hold. So it's
do
just,
not hold on to me.
All right. Okay. Well, that's fine. All right. I can work with that. The Greek has nuances in the language that in language that doesn't get picked up in English very very well.
Så på græsk i originalsproget er der nuancer som ikke oversættes så godt til engelsk altid.
So you could have in Danish, I don't know how it comes across for you with Danish ears, but you can either have don't hold on to me as don't start holding on to me, or don't hold on to me as in don't continue to hold on to me.
Så jeg ved ikke helt, hvordan den danske oversættelse, hvad den siger jer, om det er, du skal lade være med at begynde at holde i mig, eller slip mig. Hvordan forstår I det? Well, they understand as let go of me.
Right. Oh, spot on. Oh, I wish all my English people were speaking Danish now.
Og jeg ville ønske, at de engelsktalende, de talte dansk.
Because the English people see it as don't start, and they miss the point.
Fordi i den engelsktalende verden, der ser man det som, begynd ikke at holde fast i mig, og dermed mister de pointen.
So, just imagine again, you've lost, you've grabbed hold, and now my question to you is, why does she let go? Why is she obedient?
Så igen, se det her for jer. Hun har mistet ham og holder fast i ham. Hvorfor slipper hun? Hvorfor adlyder hun Jesus? She believes he speaks the truth. She is told what to do.
Right. The word. Okay? But just imagine again, remember? She's lost him before. Now she doesn't have to hang on to him. There's no question of, oh, all right, I'll do as I told. You come with me.
Okay, hun kunne også sådan have reageret og sige, okay, jeg gør som du siger, men nu tager jeg dig alligevel med mig.
She doesn't say, okay, fine, but I'm not losing you again. You're not getting out of my eyesight. You.
Hun siger heller ikke, okay, men jeg slipper dig ikke ud af øjenkontakt.
That's the point, isn't it? That's the point of the word. The word created the faith, and the word allows her to not use her eyes.
Og det er netop pointen her. Jesu ord gør, at hun ikke behøver at bruge sine øjne.
And of course, Jesus gives the promise that, of course, by going to the Father, the ascension, which I'm now summarizing an awful lot of theology, but of course, Jesus' ascension means, has he left us or is he with us?
Og når Jesus siger, at han vil gå til sin far, betyder det så, at han har forladt os, eller at han er med os? Jeg ved godt, jeg opsummerer en masse teologi her.
Yeah, that's the with us. Fantastic. All right. So we have two scenes. First scene, just see stuff. It appears the mind clicks. That's not the way it works. Somehow the word and the spirit has worked.
Så i den første scene, så ser disciplene, og Maria ser også, men det, og på en eller anden måde, så siger det klik, og det passer sammen, men det er ikke sådan, ånden virker.
Second scene, of course, is,
ånden virker ved ordet.
Is longing, wanting, grief.
Anden scene handler om sorg, om længsel.
Not sure what's going on.
Hun er ikke sikker på, hvad det er, der sker.
And lo and behold, Jesus appears.
Men så sker der det, at Jesus viser sig.
And we would think, she should recognize him.
Og vi ville tænke, hun bør genkende ham.
Doesn't.
Men det gør hun ikke.
And of course requires, must have the word.
Og derfor har hun brug for ordet.
And that word is so amazing that having wanted him so badly.
Og ordet er så fantastisk, at selvom hun har ønsket så brændende, at han var der igen.
And now because of that word, she can then depart from him.
Så kan hun på grund af det ord give slip på ham.
I mean, imagine doing that as a film. Go, Mary. Does he just stay there until she's out of sight?
Så forestil jer, at det her var en film. Siger han bare gå, Maria?
Or does he just go, Mary, vanish?
Og siger han bare gå, Maria, og så forsvinder han?
We don't know. It doesn't matter. Although it's fun to play with the ideas.
Og vi ved det ikke, og det har egentlig ikke den store betydning, selvom det er meget sjovt at lege lidt med det i tankerne.
The word gets the eyes to see and faith to come.
Ordet får øjnene til at se og får troen til at komme.
And the word sends us off.
Og ordet sender os væk.
More on that tomorrow, but let's go to the third scene. When am I finished? I'm supposed to have finished.
Og mere om det i morgen.
What time?
It's
Oh yeah, but I don't know when I'm supposed to finish.
Hvornår er bagkanten her?
But we will figure that out. We'll give you all the time. But I think we'll need the pause now, and then we'll go on. We have the plan to go on with Sigmund at 7:15. But tomorrow you'll go on with this.